Well, a happy and wonderful Sabbath to y'all. It is just a privilege to walk into the presence of the Lord and feel the unction of the Holy Spirit grip you. And I'm going to be talking about, of all things, the Sabbath. Now, this is a Seventh-day Adventist church, I know. I will be praying, my dear. I'm going to talk about the Sabbath today, but you just haven't heard me talk about it. You've heard lots of sermons on the Sabbath, lots of sermons. But God spoke to me about speaking about an appointment we have. And I'm going to pray at this time. Shall we bow our heads? Father, it is critical that people understand your word and that when you say something, you mean it. You're not just saying words, but you are telling us the way it is. And that's what we want to do here today, Lord, is speak your word and tell the people the way it is, what you would require of us and what you would have us proclaim to the world, our special message. And why do we over and over and over talk about the Sabbath? Why? Because we're the only ones doing it, Lord. We know that we're the only ones talking about it and giving it the importance that it has, and talking about your commandments and proclaiming them to the world that they are still valid today. We want you to be glorified, Father, so touch each one and touch me as I proclaim this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And our scripture was Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's go over that again. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. This was the first appointment that God had made for man. He said, I have set aside a day where I want to meet with you, where I want you to spend the day with me, where I want you to come to me and rest. Jesus said, come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Sabbath is the day that God has appointed for us. It is his day. Amen. It is our day. It is a once a week appointment with God that he set up.
Yes.
Now, if you go to the doctor and you set up an appointment, and the doctor says, I want you to come on Wednesday, you do not go on Thursday. Why? Because you have an appointment, and if you don't go on the day appointed, you miss it, whatever it is. If you propose to your fiancé and you say, let's get married, and the day comes up, and you set the date, and the date is June the 1st, you don't show up June the 2nd. You might think, well, what difference does it make? Well, ask her what difference it would make if you showed up a day late or whenever you thought it was right or whenever you thought. You see, there was a principle started back in the book of Genesis where Adam and Eve were told not to partake of a certain tree. And if you partake of this tree, you shall surely die. And along comes the adversary of souls and says, you shall not surely die. And there it begins. What difference does it make what tree you're eating off of, for goodness sakes? The Lord just is holding back on you. He's holding out. You'll become wise and you'll be like, wow. Who we listen to now? And how did we get into this mess that we're in today? Because we think our way makes sense. What difference does it make what day we worship God on? Every day is the same. Don't you hear that nonsense? Oh, well, Jesus died, and so that is the rest. We rest from our works, and we don't have to celebrate a certain day, do we? Nonsense. Nonsense. Let's go into Exodus chapter 20. Let's read a little bit about this day that God has set apart. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8. And we'll read down a little bit. Remember, let's just pause there. Remember the Sabbath day. Not forget the Sabbath day. Not pick out any day you want for the Sabbath day. Now, any of you folks that are not Seventh-day Adventists might think we're a little bit picky over here. But when God says, and He calls it commandments, not suggestions, then it must be that He's serious about what He says. Remember the Sabbath day. And here is the important part of that: to keep it holy. Now, what does holy mean? A day where you really, you know, keep it like, be very nice, be very good? No, that's not holiness at all. Separate. Set apart. Amen. Set this day apart. It is a special day. Remember, the Sabbath day is holy. Yes. And we keep it holy. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. If I'm driving down the road and I say, what's that on the road ahead? Or I say, what's that on the road ahead? It's the same words. But what does God mean? Oh, surely we don't have to keep the seventh day. Well, who said to keep the seventh day? God. Well, and then if He says keep the seventh day, we want to find out what the seventh day is so we can keep it. Not we'll find out what the seventh day is so we can avoid it at all costs. And that's an attitude. And not only keeping the Sabbath day holy, but keeping any day at all. It seems like the world has lost the concept of a Sabbath. Even a Sunday Sabbath they don't keep anymore. When was the last time you ever saw anybody that went to a Sunday church that spent the whole day with God, but weren't waiting for 1:30 so they can go shopping or go play golf? They don't even give a whole day to the Lord anymore. Yeah, well, what about us? Do we keep the Sabbath day separate and holy? You know, when I first became a Christian, and people say, well, you were born in a Christian country. Doesn't that make you a Christian? No. When I gave my heart to Jesus and I joined a church, I found the importance of knowing what the Bible says and the truth. Because immediately upon giving my heart to Jesus, I became persecuted. People did not like the fact that I had changed, that I had received a backbone instead of a wishbone and stood up for the truth. And all my life, I have been looking for truth, searching for truth. And it does not stop at age 18, 25, 30, 40, 50. As long as you are alive, we are an unstoppable search for the truth. Why? So that we can conform to it, not get around it. You know, we don't hug the corners of the cliff. We drive as far away from the cliff as we can. We don't try to see how much we can get away with. But we want to see how much we can please Jesus and do what He wants us to do and follow the truth and obey the truth. Obedience, Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. Right. Not look for loopholes. And how many Christians today are looking for loopholes and they just want to barely make it in? Sorry, doesn't work. Isn't going to work, never will work. We need to get serious about these commandments. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Six. doesn't say five. Don't take 2 days off. Take one off. You work all 6 days, and you work until the light fades and you drop into your bed. But on the seventh day, and it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Does it say the first day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God? Where did it say that? Read it to me. I can't find it. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work. No, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? What difference does it make? God said it. Isn't that enough reason? Well, what about Jesus? Wasn't the Sabbath, yes, it was, not abolished, but fulfilled in Jesus? And Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, am Lord of the Sabbath. Not something vague, not something spiritual, but the Sabbath. The physical seventh day Sabbath is Jesus' Sabbath. But he rose on Sunday, didn't he? Yeah. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the Sabbath was changed? To some folks it does. But it doesn't say so in the Bible, does it? Where did all this change come from? Why is there a change? Why has there ever been a change? Well, let me read to you something that Jean and I were studying this morning. And I'll show you why people change the Sabbath. And you all know probably why, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. On this basis, millions of people do not keep the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through to 20. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now why am I reading that? Because some folks believe that Peter was given the keys of the kingdom and had all authority given to him, and he could change dates and times and whatever. He said, I give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Some folks believe that Peter was the rock. And on that basis, if that be the truth, then the Roman Catholic Church is right and we're all wrong. If that was the truth, all Protestants would be out to lunch and we should all be Catholics. But that is not what he said. He said, and he was talking about himself. What were they talking about? Christ. He says, it's all about the identity of Christ, not the identity of Peter here. If you read it in the context with which we are speaking, Peter was answering a question about Christ, and Jesus was answering a question about Christ. Who is Christ? He is the rock I will build, and upon this rock, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock upon which we build our church. That is the rock of our faith. That is the rock in which everything fits together, and without that rock, it all crumbles. He says, you're Peter, a stone. You are Peter, or you're a little rock, you're a little stone. He says, but upon this rock, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And whatever that is the basis upon which we have our faith.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yeah.
But folks will say, well, the church, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, has the right to change commandments and scriptures and set up images and do all the things they should be on the basis of this scripture. And if that was true, then they do, but they do not. Nobody has the right to change what God has said.
Amen.
And it started with the devil, and people will still try to circumvent or get around, but the commandments say, remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. It is not something that we have the right to do, to change the scriptures. And we wrest these scriptures to our own destruction when we do. Taking things out of context is the worst thing that we can do. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is this holiness? We want to be holy. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
Does that mean dress just so and speak just so and don't say it if your mouth is full of it? Is that what holiness is? No. Set apart. Ye are a peculiar people. Not dumb looking, but different. We are different from the other churches, and that is what we proclaim. Not the sameness, but the difference. We need to let this difference be known to the people of this community. Thank God for the great controversy. Thank God for those people that have asked for the great controversy and have been mailed out. They will get the truth as they have never seen it before. When I read the great controversy and the wonderful books that woman wrote, that wonderful woman, Mrs. Ellen White, when I read her books and I studied the scriptures with all the diligence that I could muster, with all the prayer, how it changed my life, how our lives change when we read the word as it is written and not allow it to be twisted by Satan and not allow it to be twisted by public opinion and convenience, because people want to believe and it's been traditional, and tradition is a hard thing to break, but we need to know the truth and the truth will set us free.
Yeah.
Are you free today? I want to be set free. I want to be able to proclaim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. There is no other way but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments, who am I to say, well, it doesn't matter this and it doesn't matter that? It matters.
Yeah.
And we are the people of the three angels' message. We need to tell the folks that Jesus is coming suddenly. And that's what soon means in most translations. Jesus is coming suddenly, and we do not know the time, but we do know that we are in the last of the last days. That according to Nebuchadnezzar's image, we are in the very toenails. And that's about as close to the end as you can find. We are in the end times, and all these things are coming to pass. Great apostasy, apathy, and ignorance is a premium today. There's so much apathy and ignorance. People do not know the Bible. There is a thirst, a famine for the Word of God. And we, as the people of God, can supply the world with the end time message. Present truth. Nobody talks about present truth. Well, the present truth for this generation is Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. Know that the Sabbath is important, that we are not going to compromise on our stand for Christ, that the everlasting gospel must be proclaimed, and this is it. This is the Elijah message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, for He is coming soon.
Amen.
We have no compromise to make with the world. We can't look like the world. We can't act like the world. We can't eat. We can't sleep. We can't walk and talk like the world. It has to change. It starts with you and me. We must not compromise. We must not compromise. Because truth is so important. Truth will transform folks. Truth has changed a lot of lives. Truth will make you squirm sometimes. If the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit is in me, and I look at myself, I squirm terribly sometimes. because I see where I lack. When Isaiah was in the presence of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." Isaiah? That holy man was a man of unclean lips? Yes. When I am in the presence of God, I feel filthy. And I feel like being cleansed. And I feel like that the Holy Spirit needs to wash me again. And I need to repent of my sins over and over again. Not that I don't have assurance of salvation, for I do. I know that Jesus saved me when I gave my heart to Jesus many years ago. And I've walked with Him and I've talked with Him. And I've struggled with my sins and the things that are... I have so many faults. Just ask Jean. She knows them all. I can't hide a thing from her. And Jean to me is like the Holy Spirit. Husbands, your wives are like the Holy Spirit to you. They're their comforter. They come alongside you. And they tell you things you don't want to hear. But it's for your good. And I know I squirm a lot and I bristle under a lot of it. But it's long ago. Almost 5 years now. The Lord spoke to me about Jean, said, "Let her go. Let her do it. You listen. You take it." As Abraham was told by the Lord, "Hearken to the voice of your wife." Now that was direct from God. Hearken to the voice of your wife. You know, change does not come easy because we think we're right. We believe we are right. Like we were talking about in Sabbath school, I once thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. Sometimes we just do not want to change because we think we're right. Well, the more sure you are, the more wrong you can be. There's so many things that have changed since I've come into this church, come into the truth. I have changed all those doctrines. The state of the dead, that's our message. The health message. You can just name them. The Sabbath. Now that Sabbath one I accepted years ago, long before I was a Seventh-day Adventist. Whenever anybody said it didn't matter what day you worshipped on, I always said on the inside, yes, it does. And no matter what my preacher said, he said, "Oh, it doesn't matter what day. Who knows what day is the Sabbath day?" I used to say, "You're lying." You know, because the Spirit will not deny Himself. He will not. He just will not. Yes. The Holy Spirit is the Holy, the set-apart Spirit. The Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it sets you apart. And we are to set the Sabbath day apart. All the things that we do, the sanctification process, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we shall be glorified. Amen. And without the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And Who is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of the Father, which comes to dwell in us. Because He, Jesus, the man, is waiting in heaven to come back. And we have a work to do. It won't be done until we do it. I want to be the one that wins the last soul to Christ, and then the trumpet will sound. Wouldn't you? It's our responsibility to win these souls for Jesus. I'm with Christian Record. And, you know, Jesus helped the blind to see. But I try to help the blind see Jesus. That's what it's all about. We are all called to evangelism. And this message, this three angels message, this present truth must not drop to the ground. Amen. We must not compromise just to be like the other churches. Look around all the church building going on in Aiken and all these big mega churches. And they just compromising left, right, and center. You can look any way you want, act any way you want. Come to my church, fill up my pew, and help me build my big building. Because the churches themselves have become the idol. Let's make us a name. That's what they said when they built the Tower of Babel. Let's make us a name and build a building that reaches to heaven. Yeah. And look at the churches today, building buildings that reach to heaven, and say, "Let us make us a name." Well, there is a name which is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the name we proclaim. That is the message we proclaim. We must preach this Sabbath message until people get it. You say, "Oh, you people, you harp on the Sabbath all the time. Oh, you people." Well, because nobody else will. You know, we are the last hope of the world. Now, is that egotistical? No, that's the truth. This little congregation of folks coming to church on the Sabbath day is the last hope of Aiken and South Carolina and the United States of America and Canada and the whole world. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his soul? We have an appointment. We have an appointment with God. It's coming up. Your appointment may come before Jesus comes. Are you ready for that appointment? You know, if there's, as I said before, if there was a trial, they put you on trial for Christian, being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I want to be convicted. I want to be found guilty of being a Christian. I want to be found guilty of standing up for the Sabbath truth and the present truth and the soon coming of Jesus. Soon, suddenly, in the clouds, he shall appear. And those which of us that are alive and remain will be caught up with those that are that have been risen first, those in Christ. And then, what happens to the world, folks? It's over. There's no 7 years of tribulation, and then there's no 1,000 years where people come back to earth and reign and rule on the earth. Over what? You know, people read that one on the in Luke about the rapture, they call it, but they miss the scriptures right at the end. It says, well, where, Lord? He said, where the eagles are, where the, you know, the carcasses are, there the eagles will be gathered. And they say, what's that? That's the state of the earth after the church leaves. Everybody's dead and there's nothing on the earth but a bunch of carcasses, and the birds are gorging themselves on the dead because there's nobody to bury them. You see the truth, the precious truths that we've been handed? People getting off into spiritism. And we say, no, you die, you're dead. And you wait the resurrection. The hope of the church is not the rapture. That's one hope if you live. It is the resurrection from the dead. Let's hold these truths to be precious in our sight. And let's proclaim them forever and ever and ever and ever until Jesus comes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have set a divine appointment, a set time. And though we know not the time or the hour, we know that we should be always ready, that we should have oil in our lamps and extra oil, that we should be fully versed on the truth, that we should be in the vineyard working and in the field working and searching and seeking the lost and trying to find those that do not know you and bring them to a knowledge of your saving power. Oh, Father, help us, help us, help us to proclaim the present truth of the day. Light a fire under us, Lord. Motivate us and set us apart like your holy day. Sanctify us, we pray. Keep us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.